Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
There's a question that's been bugging me for a while now.
How many flies have ever existed?
Crowd Science, the podcast with a thirst for knowledge.
Why do we daydream?
Why is the sea salty?
We'll go and try and speak to some people and find out.
Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service. I'm Andrea Kidd, and today we're with the Argentinian artist Ad Minaliti. Ad is known for their vividly colourful geometric work, which they've exhibited around the world, redefining the role of galleries and people's relationship with the artworks.
That's what I love about geometrical abstraction, that you have to interpret it and you have to start playing a game with all the shapes and the colours.
Nature and the environment are also key elements. And as well as highlighting the natural world in their artworks, Ad is also passionate about growing plants to encourage butterflies and bees, and cultivating green areas in the Argentinian capital, Buenos Aires. So perhaps it's not surprising that I'm meeting them not at their studio, but instead at one of the saved green spaces in the city. Ad, hi, lovely to meet you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Why have you brought me here?
Because this place is very special for me. Like, I started coming during the pandemic. I started working with native plants, and I wanted to show you what we do for the spaces, the green spaces here. Let's go this way. All the neighborhood come together to fight for the space to become a social space with green, with plants, with football and games for kids. And it's really nice to have a space where you can barely hear the traffic and all the noise from the street, no? But you can come here, listen to the birds, and relax.
What's through this gate here?
Well, that's the vivarium. The good thing about this space is that, of course, it's free to participate.
There's so many pots everywhere. It's like my idea of heaven.
Totally. It's my paradise too.
Why are these plants, why is being here an inspiration for you?
This foundation has the goal to reproduce native plants in order to repopulate green areas. And for me, ecological reconstruction is a huge inspiration. It's part of the message that I want to bring with my artwork too. Buenos Aires is one of the cities with the lowest number of green square meters per habitant. It's interesting because green spaces relate to mental health, to well-being. And when you start learning about the plants that are native to your home, you get a connection with the land and the people.
What are you working on at the moment?
So now I'm working on a hotel for birds. Have this idea of creating a sort of mural monument that works as a refugee for birds in France. So all this work will be part of a festival that is every year in Le Havre. It's called Annette Le Havre.
So Annette au Havre. A summer in Le Havre. Le Havre is a city in Normandy in northern France.
I'm going to work with native plants in that region. So the plants that I'm going to work with in France are totally different, but working here with these native plants give me the idea, the inspiration to look and learn what's going on in other cities. Because every city has their own identity, their own plants. They are a carancho, one of the biggest birds that you can find in Buenos Aires, and they actually eat pigeons. Do you see the nest?
Oh, yes, that's a huge nest.
Yeah, it's a huge bird. These plants are called trixis. I love them because I took the seeds from another square. Just walking my dog, I'm always looking for plants and seeds. And look how big they are.
They're about a foot tall now, sort of a third of a meter.
Yeah, we are surrounded by this potential life that we don't see. Sorry, you have a mosquito here.
I got it. There.
Maybe we should get going.
I'm itching now. Where are you going to take me next?
So now I'm going to take you to my house. I want to show you my own little garden in the terrace. And I'm going to show you what I'm working on in the computer.
We leave the peaceful green space behind. And Ad takes me across the busy city to our home. Which is your apartment?
Over there, the greenhouse.
Thank you.
So my dog is very, very friendly.
What's your dog called?
Max.
So we've come into a beautiful courtyard. Little oasis in the middle of the city.
Well, I hope so. This is one of my favorites. It's called Burukusha. It's a very important plant because it feeds a lot of butterflies.
And there's Max. Hello, Max.
Let's go to the studio. I want to show you the project in the computer.
We head to a room just off Ad's main living area, where they're working on their mural installation for the festival in France, which is opening in about 7 months, in the summer of 2024. Do you normally then work on your computer?
Yes, actually, I end up working a lot in Photoshop on other programs, but always looking also for information and doing a lot of research online.
So I notice you do have pen and paper here, and you've got some designs here, but you automatically will turn to computer first.
Yes. Well, I think it's complementary. You know, the virtual world is actually a tool, so we don't have to fight technology. We have to use it like any tool. So I'm working in this piece that is going to be outdoors in a park called Hanging Gardens, that in French is Les Jardins Suspendus.
Have you been to Le Havre, to Normandy?
Actually, no. I was doing all my research using Google Maps.
You've got two computer screens in front of us, one of which actually has a map of the city.
Mm-hmm. So you can see it's very close to the beach, to the water. And that's something that we have to think about because the wind is very strong. So that's a huge challenge because I was thinking of a standing wall. This is the first pitch.
You've got an image of the Hanging Gardens, which are lawns and some planted trees and greenhouses. And then you've superimposed here lots and lots of coloured plants. And then in the centre, you've got a mural that looks almost like a box. And the front of it, very vibrant colours and your geometric designs.
You have all these native flowers surrounding the mural in the centre. You know, I work geometrical abstraction, but with vivid colours, because I'm always looking for like a feminist, queer, but very childish point of view on geometrical abstraction. So it's very fun and colorful. And if you go in the back of this mural, you get this hole that's supposed to function as a hotel for birds.
How tall is this going to be then? If you're concerned about wind and how tall this can actually be, what's the original idea?
Well, I was thinking something around 2 meters, 3 meters.
So between 6 and 9 foot. Mm.
Well, I'm waiting. Part of the process is a lot of teamwork and waiting for the measurements and the studies that the architect and his team is doing on site. We've been talking with the people in the garden, the people that take care of the space. Sadly, they say that there are not too many birds. Because of the seagulls.
I want to talk more about the designs that you have here. This design, it's geometric, but it looks like a woman or a person. You've got two quarter circles, but you could say they were arms. You've got something that could be a neck there that's half a, like a parallelogram here. And then you've got what could be a face over there, or it could be the top of an octopus, which is in purple, and the body is like almost like a deep, dusky pink. Then you've got a flower on one side that looks like one eye, and on the other side it could be like a little petal coming out. So you've actually created what could be people or animals through geometric design.
Well, that's what I love about geometrical abstraction, that you have to interpret it and you have to start playing a game with all the shapes and the colors. That's the goal, you know, to have these geometrical compositions as a platform to work imagination, to also rethink the way we engage with painting.
And I love your working space. The dog, Max, has found his bed, and it is actually a double bed, which he is happily lying on now, having chewing his bones. And then you've got these big windows. So what you're staring at as you're working is actually greenery.
Also, a lot of birds come down because I have my compost box right behind the computer.
You're called Ad. Why Ad? What does that stand for?
Well, actually, my legal name, my given name is Adriana. When I was in high school, I got to study Latin. And if you say Ad Minoliti, Ad is the shortcut for Adriana, but also in Latin means in my own way, in Minoliti's way. And that's something that my dad always said, like, oh, you want everything on your way. And I'm like, of course, you know. So my name reflects that and also part of my non-binary identity.
Ad starts to work on their next draft, having heard from the curator in France that the installation now needs to be more vertical than their original design.
So I have to rethink the composition, maybe change the palette too. I also like to use previous works. So if you see a lot of my work, sometimes you can recognize specific characters that goes in different paintings and landscape.
This one looks almost like a mushroom with a round window in it.
This idea of the mushroom being a metaphor of connection and also being, for me, an icon of non-binary because it's not a plant or an animal. I love how mushroom is also populating all the fantasies and stories in the woods, you know, like in the animations and cartoons. We always look like mushrooms, like little houses. I like to play with those ideas. Because I also like to think about my body of work as a huge comic, like a comic book where you can see these characters or entities go in different places of my universe. I call my universe peluche.
Now, peluche is a word that appears a lot on your work. What does peluche mean?
Well, it refers more to the concept of the plush, the softness, the furry. So it's a word that means a toy, like the teddy bear. It means the furry, like a texture. It means something a little kitsch also. Camp to tenderness, humor, and childhood.
While Ad continues to look through their array of potential geometric shapes for their next draft, I try and put my own peluche interpretation on their choices. Could be a bud of a flower with two little petals coming out.
That one that you call petals, in my fantasy, it's a butterfly that you can find in different paintings.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service, following the Argentinian artist Admin Aliti as they create an installation for an Été aux Œuvres, a big festival taking place in Normandy in northern France. It's 3 days since I left Ad, working on new images for their bird hotel. So I'm back to see how they're getting on with their new vertical design.
Hello again.
Hi.
Hi, Max.
Back.
Thank you very much. So we're back in front of your computer. How's that going?
So I spoke with the architect and the curator, and they recommend to move the structure to a different location, still inside the garden, but to a more secure place, protected from the wind. And in this new location, I realized that I'm going a little further from my first sketch, but I think now I have new ideas that I think they're going to work very well. So this is the... See.
Oh, now that looks completely different.
Right.
to the design I saw only on Monday, and we're Thursday now. So you've got a circle here that could be a head, and then a geometric shape that could be seen as a foot, an ankle, almost like a ballet dancer on the tip of their toes going into a leg. But far more dominant now, at the top of this image, is a flower with yellow, huge yellow petals, and then smaller white petals coming out of it, and dots of orange for the buds. Can you say the name of that?
Anthocaris euphonioides. Instead of the characters, more like animals, I was thinking to go back to the idea of flowers. And then I look for native and endemic flowers of Normandy to look for something more specific.
Now, there was a butterfly, a very geometric butterfly, but there was a butterfly in the last image. I didn't notice a butterfly in this image.
No, because I hope that the real ones are part of the installation, you know.
And in the corner here, in the bottom right-hand corner, you've got a very small circle and then almost a triangle.
I like to think that it's a mushroom. So you have the little trunk there.
How does it feel then to have changed it completely? Does it feel good, or it's just part of the process for you?
It's part of the process, and... Also, every sketch, I save it for future projects. It's like nothing is waste. I recycle, you know, like the compost.
Have you sent this off to the architect and the curators yet?
Not yet. Because I'm also waiting for them to send me the final proportion of the structure. So maybe I need to also fix a lot of the... sizes on the proportion mostly. Maybe it will be more vertical, so we'll see.
At what point do you stop working on the computer, and at what point do you actually start picking up your paintbrush? Because I did notice in your living room, as we came in the main door, you've got lots of paintbrushes there as well.
Yeah. Well, I actually work with a lot of people, you know, in the production of the paintings. For example, I'm not going to make the mural myself, you know. I'm going to work with people that has more experience with the heights and the wind and all these special conditions in the space.
So is this piece actually going to be made on site then and painted on site?
Exactly. It's going to be built on site. It's going to be produced on site.
Are you going to be able to be there when they're doing that, or are you writing them details of exactly what you want?
Once the direction is complete, I'm going to travel to France and start working on site.
There's one more place that Ad wants to show me. Their studio gallery space, about 20 minutes drive away.
Well, this is my studio transformed into a non-commercial gallery where I like to show young artists, old artists from different backgrounds, because sadly, as green spaces, we have a huge lack of art spaces.
So here we've got about 13 pictures around the wall depicting nude female forms. Which artist is this one?
She's Flor Alvarado, part of the collective Identidad Marrón. It's called Brown Identity in English. I can show you upstairs.
Now, this is like a storeroom. So if your studio is also a gallery where you're showing other people's work, how do you get any work done?
Well, the thing is, I get to work with the galleries in other countries. So I had this space empty a lot of time. And we wanted to, have another space to come together. It's a huge part of the process that inspired me, that kept me going, into this pool of ideas and feelings and needs. I definitely feed from other artists.
I say goodbye to Ad, leaving them to go back to working on their bird hotel. It's now June 2024, and I get an update message from Ad, who's now on site at Les Jardins Suspendus in Le Havre, overseeing the building of their installation that they hope will delight humans and birds alike.
It feels really exciting to be here in Le Havre. I've been, almost a month working on site. I have been working with local artists and construction people. The bird hotel, it's about 6 meters tall. There has been much discussion about where to position in the gardens to prioritize security because of all the wind. We realized that the colors were not saturated enough to be bright and colorful, not to be appreciated from long distance. So I changed the pictorial design to make it more simple. At the beginning, I was very anxious with the, with the opening of the project. I was wondering if people will find it interesting. With this new project, you have this always, no? Like this fear, if it will make sense or not. But all the people I was talking, they were very excited. It's been really a very intensive but great time.
Looking at this now 6 meter, almost 20 foot high bird hotel, I can see that the background is more rustic and the colours that dominate are an orangey red, violet and black. And the flowers and petals have gone, replaced by a more circular design. But there are still what could be eyes in black and red. So when I catch up with Ad via Zoom, I want to know more about that change in colour, how being on site has affected the design.
When it's site-specific, I'm always thinking to be open to whatever is happening in the space. The difference between a mural inside, outdoors, you have the sunlight direct, and sometimes a lot of light make all the colors more plain. So you need something more vibrant, I think. And I also like that the structure is next to a tree. I like that the tree is making like a companion and it's part of the work, and it creates like a diptych, actually. That is something that I do a lot in my paintings. So it's kind of like a painting in real life. In the sunset, you have the shadows projecting these lights over the painting. And I think it's beautiful. I think it makes it more natural, but also more romantic.
It now feels part of the landscape in a way I wasn't expecting when we were first talking about it.
Definitely.
How's it been working with the team in France? Has that gone well?
Well, it was a challenge in terms of the language. Not everyone speak English, or not everyone understand my poor French. But I can tell that the people was amazing, how gentle everyone was and patient also. So it was really nice.
The other thing I notice is that your idea for native flowers around the base of the installation has been replaced by long grass. So what's happened there?
Well, actually, the long grass was there during the installation, and it feels more natural with the grass as it was. So I say, okay, let's keep it like this. Don't change anything.
So all that work that you did on the native plants disappeared?
No, but actually we end up putting native plants now into the benches. You can see we have the seating part and then the pots with soil and the plants. That, for example, is something that I didn't think at first when I think about the project. But now I think they're very important because we put points where you can sit and enjoy the whole scene. I think it makes it more welcoming.
Humans get to enjoy the birdhouse as a work of art at the front, but I notice that the back of the installation is open to the elements and has different size perches for the birds, as well as bird boxes there as well. Has it been a hit with the local birds?
Well, actually, that's the tricky part of this project, because from the beginning I was told that the nest time, the time for reproduction of the birds, it was springtime. And we are doing this festival during the summer. But for me, what is interesting is that the birdhouses are going to stay in the garden and they're going to be positioned in other trees. So we are actually making something for the future, too. I think if the most important part of doing the tower now in the summer is to propose and try to inspire people to think about how we can think art for human and also cities that contemplate every living being.
You've been listening to the documentary In the Studio from the BBC World Service with the artist Ad Minaliti. The programme was presented and produced by me, Andrea Kidd.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.